It's always exciting taking members into the congregation, into the fellowship of believers. Baptisms are always exciting. Weddings are always exciting. There's plenty to be thankful for. And we had a Thanksgiving dinner here this past Thursday, right? That's what Thanksgiving was, Thursday. And we had 45 people show up and gorge out. And some of them even left some notes. We made little trees with leaves, and you could leave behind something you were thankful for. I'm thankful for good health. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for God's amazing grace and the gift of salvation. I'm thankful for everyone, everything, and every breath God gives me. There's a thankful life for you, right? Everything. I'm thankful for healing. Buddy, claim some healing. We're right on the back, brother. Claiming some healing, man. God bless you. I'm thankful for friends and family. I'm thankful for having a church family as great and sharing and loving as the people at our church are. That warms my heart. I'm thankful for grace and friends' support. I'm thankful for my family. Thankful for family, friends, cheer, food, and water. That's nice. I'm thankful. You know, you try going without some water. You'd be thankful for some water, right? Yeah. I'm thankful for the wonderful family God has blessed me with. Also for my New Life Alliance family. Amen. I'm thankful for life every morning. That's a way to get out of bed, right? Thank you, Lord. You woke me up again. Amen. I'm thankful for family and food and, again, water. Did they copy off each other? Is that what they did? They're copying. I'm thankful for my job and knowing people still love after 27 years. I'm thankful for my loved ones having a job, being healthy, and being protected and loved by my God. How about that? Amen. There's a lot to be thankful for, right? But in the midst of being very thankful for some things, are there ever times when you feel as if it's all over? We're all doomed. Watching a basketball game. We're going to lose. There's no hope. It's hopeless. Not a chance. All is lost. Melinda gets upset with me sometimes when I'm watching the game. Sometimes the Steelers are watching a basketball game, and I'm losing because I'm upset because we're losing, and I've just lost hope, changing the channel. I can barely even watch to go. And she's all like, "Why are you losing hope? There's still 2 minutes left." Well, we're down by 2 touchdowns and a field goal. I don't know that that's going to happen. We're down by 23 points, you know. It could happen, and oftentimes she has been right. Just when I thought all hope is lost, there's a fumble and a turnover.
Could you repeat that, please?
My exact words were, every so often she's been right. Every so often she's been right? I was very selective in my wording. Rewind that puppy later. That's not on Facebook, right? We didn't get that. Yeah, okay. And every so often, she's right. When hope is gone and all things happen, that's when a fumble happens, a turnover, an interception. Somebody sinks a three-pointer, right? Man, can you believe it? You know, hope is something exciting. If you have hope, it could be pretty exciting to have. When you're hopeless, pretty sad, kind of depressing in a lot of ways. I did also notice that if I'm watching a replay of the game, like, you know, I taped it earlier and I couldn't get to it till later, but I know the outcome, I realize if I know the outcome, I'm really not very stressed. I'm really not very anxious, even though we're down by 2 touchdowns and a field goal in the last 2 minutes. I know the outcome. And it has a whole different sense of being able to watch that and be hopeful. And I'm wondering, has God provided you with the knowledge of the outcome? Maybe if I expanded it a little bit more. Has God provided you with the knowledge of the outcome for your life? Has God provided you with the knowledge of the outcome for your death? Then what's all the worry? What's all the anxiousness? Why all the hopelessness? Hopelessness is a lot of reasons people seek counseling. Without hope, they see no way out. They don't see the outcome. They don't know the outcome. Or even better, they don't quite see a good outcome. And so all hope is lost. And in this season of Christmas, we celebrate the one who has come to give us hope. In the manger, we see the birth of hope, something to cheer about. The birth of Jesus Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, came that we might find and embrace hope, that we might be drawn back to God. In a very familiar passage that most of us are familiar with, it's the heart of hope. And it came to pass in those days, I'm reading from the NIV, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. That's a big hope. The hope that all the world would be taxed. That sounds like the hope of a politician. Nothing certain, you've ever heard this before, right? There's nothing certain in life but death and taxes, right? People like to say, you know what? The Bible's just so irrelevant in today's culture, you know? It's irrelevant. About as irrelevant as taxes. I love the words that come from the King James Version of it. It came to pass that in those days there went out a decree, right? In the NIV, in those days. In what days? In the days the government was in charge and taxing everybody? In those days, what days? The days that Caesar was beheading people? The days of John the Baptist? In the days in the fullness of time. And it came to pass in those days, the fulfillment of prophecy, in those biblical times. Are we in biblical times? Or was it back then? We're in biblical times. Are we not? Are you a fulfillment of prophecy? Are you neglecting, rejecting, and ignoring the hope that God has brought to you? See, biblical times, not just then, right now. We reference a lot that this too shall pass. I hear people say that a lot. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. And it did come to pass. The long-awaited event, for years, prophets of God had spoken about the coming of the Messiah. The hope that this Messiah would bring. Prophetically announced through David and through Isaiah and through Jeremiah and through Daniel and Malachi and so many others. This hope would be born of a virgin. This hope would be born in Bethlehem. This hope would be called out of Egypt. And these predictions, some of them over thousands of years old, were brought to pass with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. What came to pass is the moment of hope. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea. He had to register for a census so that they could all be taxed. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee and to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. The decree from Caesar, strong words, listen, strong words, we can probably talk about it in class sometime. The decree from Caesar was God's way of placing his servants where he wanted them, when he wanted them, in the fulfillment of prophecy. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you when God wants you to be? Here's your next slide. Your where and when is here and now. Your where and when? Here and now. What are you waiting for? When will the time be right? Well, any time but now. Well, when will the place be right? Well, anywhere but here. Your where and when? Here and now. Biblical times. God created you for here and now. And to think of, that's amazing that God oversees all the governments of the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? But somehow hopelessness reigns. God interfering with global politics to orchestrate his plan. Do you believe that? In the midst of a pandemic? You mean there's a plan? You mean God has a plan? God intervening into the physical world to bring spiritual hope. I know it can look unrelated. I know it can look like the government's in charge. I know it can look like Caesar rules everything. I know it can look awkward. I know it can look like a pandemic. I know it can look inconvenient. I know it can look problematic. I know it can even look devastating, disturbing. It can even look like there's 2 minutes left and you're down by 2 touchdowns and a field goal. But have you lost hope? Yet God is intervening in the world. He did then for Mary and Joseph, as he does now for you. See, we cannot begin to allow the world to believe that God is some absentee landlord, that all the stuff that took place 2,000 years ago. And biblical times, when it came to pass, in the fulfillment of time, was back then, not now. But your where and when is here and now. We can't begin to believe that God has forgotten our youth, that God has forgotten the next generation, that God has forgotten the poor, or God has forgotten his church or his country or you. That somehow God just created the earth and then just forgot about us. He's not distant and far off. And I know you don't understand everything about God. I don't understand everything about God. But is that reason enough to lose hope? I don't understand everything. Is that reason to doubt? I don't understand everything. Is that reason to quit? See, what's that phrase? It's not what I don't understand about God that concerns me. It's what I do understand about God that concerns me. The celebration of Christmas is at the heart of our hope that God is with us. Emmanuel, God has come. And God is sovereign. He rules over time, not over the course of time, beyond time. He's not subject to your time. He's outside of time. He rules over governments. Why? Because he's bigger than governments. Here's your next slide. God has not lost hope. He's inviting you into his hope. See, you can follow the world's plan and be uneasy, hopeless. God's inviting you into something to see something different. To see something spiritual, to see something bigger than this world, bigger than this government, bigger than Caesar, something much, much bigger that goes way beyond time, that goes way beyond democracies. It goes way beyond all of this. It goes beyond your life. Long before the Caesar made a decree, long before Mary and Joseph ever made a pilgrimage, long before there was ever a birth and a first Christmas, long before even the prophets foretold, God was moving upon the earth to fulfill his promises to bring you hope. That's amazing to me that he would think that much of his creation, and he does. How much do you think of him? This is the core of our hope, the very heartbeat of our hope. See, there is no hope outside of Jesus Christ. This passage cannot be just about, you know, the struggles that Mary and Joseph had to endure. We love, that's another sermon for another day. But what I'm talking about is much bigger than what's having to be endured. It was about completing what God had set out to do long before Mary and Joseph were even born, long before you were ever even a twinkle in your daddy's eye. God would involve Mary and Joseph. With them and through them, he would bring into this world a wonderful hope called Jesus Christ to redeem and restore man back to a right relationship, to bring you hope. God has and will move heaven and earth for you. So what are you having to do for the glory of God? What are you having to even endure for the glory of God? What inconvenience? What intolerance? I have to wear a mask everywhere I go now. I have to wash my hands more and use hand sanitizer. See, you may not be the parent of the Messiah, but I bet God has a plan for you in his biblical times, for your where and when, for your here and now. I just want to say thank you to the Lord myself, for I have seen him move heaven and earth for me. I have seen how he has protected me in those moments when I should have been wiped out. I watched God watch over me and provide for me and protect me physically, financially, even emotionally. I have watched and seen God do amazing things for me in my life. That's my testimony. I have been brought to places that bring him honor. I have been brought into places and into relationships where I get to speak the name of Jesus Christ. I would pray nothing less for you. You will soon begin to understand that your life is not about you. Mary and Joseph's life, not about Mary and Joseph. Jesus' life, not even about Jesus. It's about you. It was always about someone else. The Lord has surrounded me many times with his glory, shown me things in many ways I'd rather not have seen. But he gave me insight to something much bigger and much broader than money and finance and this world and government and flesh, this temporary stuff. I have great hope for what God's gonna do in my life. I have great hope for what God's gonna do in the lives of new members at New Life Alliance Church. Do you? Holding out some great hope? I have great hope what God's gonna do on an associate pastor called Jeff Lee. I have great hope in what God's going to do in my wife, Melinda. I have great hope in what God's going to do on our praise team. I have great hope in what God's going to do in our church finances and our fellowship and into our community. The heart of hope is God with us. Not abandon us, not forgotten us, God with us. He came to show and to give hope. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's a big inconvenience, right? I'm sorry. I know. Don't have room for you. It seems rather simple, but even backwards, to have the King of the universe come to mankind in such a fashion. Humble, servant, infant, baby, spirit takes on flesh. This is no mere mortal we're talking about. This was the Christ. This is Messiah. This is the Emmanuel, God with us. What an event, celebrated with praise to God and thoughtful worship. Legions of angels would rejoice. There's a whole host of another dimension, way beyond your physical realm, way beyond your time frames, that God is having influence in, that Jesus is having influence in. Let this Christmas be a time to praise God for his Son, the hope, the peace of all nations, the fulfillment of all prophecies, God with us. And let's be very certain that we worship him as a church and as families and as individuals. Let us take our cue from the angels and praise him and worship him and honor him and glorify him for all he has done for you and for all of mankind and for all the dimensions beyond the physical realm. That's amazing. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There's your next one, Savior, the hope of our salvation, the hope of our redemption back to God. "For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior." See, since the fall of Adam, the world laid waiting how God would redeem his creation back to himself. The world is under a curse. It's fallen away. It will rot, it will decay, and it will go away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. In case you haven't finished and gotten to the end of the book yet, that's what's promised. The sentence of death was upon man. That's where we are in biblical times. The sentence of death is upon man. Physical death and a spiritual death. Adam disobeyed and fell, and the curse came. "Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." We're all sinners. We're all fallen short. Without the Savior, we have nothing to look forward to. Without the Savior, we have no hope of a relationship with God. There was no hope. But there was this prophecy. There was these moments that I'm coming. I will redeem you back to me. "For if the trespass of the one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more then those who received God's abundant provision of grace and gift of righteousness reign in their lives through the one man, Jesus Christ. Death came because of one man. Righteousness and hope, salvation and forgiveness came by one man." But listen, not man, God himself. No man could do it. It took God himself as a man. This is what we celebrate, spirit becoming flesh, that we might have a relationship and redemption with God. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. It's not in the Buddha. It's not in the sacred cows. It's not in the rubbing the crystals. It's not in worshiping the trees. Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only. Are you with me? "Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also righteousness and a righteous act resulted in justification. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, they were made sinners, also through the obedience of one man, many became righteous and saved." See, God did not send his Son in to condemn the world. If you think Jesus is standing around trying to condemn the world, you do not have room in your life for what the cross means. He did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world from its condemnation. The world's already condemned. And to offer us hope, and hope of a redeeming relationship with God. And then there's a hope of life after death. that there's more to your life than your physical body and your bank account and how big your car is. These are all temporary things, including your own flesh. Think bigger, think like God, walk like God, and you'll see things as God sees things. This morning, we can know the real meaning of Christmas, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have to begin with the agreement that we're all condemned, and then believe that Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead, and ask Jesus to save us. That's why he came. It's not complicated. That's why he came. And if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Everybody who believes it, say, Jesus is Lord. Come on.
Jesus is Lord.
One more time. Give it to me.
Jesus is Lord.
And those that remain silent, I brought you right to a crossroad. You have rejected Jesus Christ, or you have accepted Jesus Christ. My work here is done. Let God work. For it is within your heart that you believe and you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Anyone who believes in me, as the scripture says, will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon his name. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call on the name of the Lord? Somebody say it with me. Jesus is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus is Lord. The angels told the shepherds, fear not, fear not, fear not if you hold on to this hope. Fear not, you can walk in confidence. Fear not, be bold in your faith. Fear not, offer people forgiveness. Fear not, love the unlovable. Fear not, be gentle, be kind. What a way to bring the Christmas season in, through hope, through salvation, through peace, through love, through joy, all encompassed in one person, Jesus Christ. And when they had seen it, these referring to the shepherds, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Declaration. There's your next one. Well, that didn't look too good, does it? That's a saver, saver. And declare. Did I spell that right? Thank you. Declaration. When the shepherds had experienced what the angels had told them, when you make a profession of faith, Jesus is Lord, and you got hope. Hope is exciting. Can you maintain your excitement? Do you hold it all in, or do you go, yeah, baby, we just won. Yeah, I'm victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. I walk boldly. I walk into Christmas, not the holiday season. I walk into Christmas. Anybody with me? The shepherds spoke of a savior. Those crazy shepherds, always talking. How can we do any less? Contain our hope, contain our anticipation, contain when you really grasp hold of what God has done for you. Those of us who have experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ, those of us who know the peace that we walk in and know the joy that we hold, those of us who at Christmas celebrate Jesus coming into the world to save mankind, we proclaim it boldly. We proclaim it with joy, and we make it known. May it start in your own heart. May it start in your own home. May it start in your own families. May it start right here in this church. Let me pray for us. Father, in this place, thank you so much for the way in which you continue to honor us and bless us with your presence. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that continues to work within us, challenge us, mold us, shape us, guide us, provide for us. Father, I could spend all eternity thanking you, praising you, and glorifying you. for every breath. And when I'm done breathing, wherever you are, Jesus, that's where I want to be. May you honor those today that spoke out with a profession of their mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believed in their heart. May you minister to them, work within them, draw them closer to you. I pray, Father, for a wonderful Christmas season for each and every one of us. Not filled with anxiousness and worry and stress, but hope and joy, peace and love. For this is who you are, and we desire to be like you. I come before you in the name of the Emmanuel, Yeshua, the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.